When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Gráinne Maguire, and this is Chantelle for Dooch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples. The ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Gráinne. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited about our next live show.
I'm very excited. We only have, what, how long do we have to prepare now? Two months, if that? Not even that, a month
no,
and a half?
So soon. What are you talking about? What will we do? I feel it's very like Gene Kelly, Judy Garland. We're putting on a show, guys.
Guys, if you haven't seen us already on our many social media channels, we are telling you this now. It is April 3rd at the Museum of Comedy, 7 p.m. Tickets are, they're available now, aren't they, I believe?
Get them while you can. That's our advice.
There, get on the website, Museum of Comedy website. Get them, get involved, get your tickets. Rachel Paris is the guest.
She is an incredible comedian. She's an incredible musical comedy star. You'll see her on the television. You've heard her on the radio. But do you know the celebrity breakup that she's never got over? No,
I don't.
You don't. I don't. Well, so it's always so much fun. If you want to see the transformation of me and Chantelle going from hovering around the side of the stage, really anxious, me biting my worry nail, then us going on stage, having a ball, and then drinking white wine afterwards. If you want to see that journey in real time.
Come, we will be basically having two mental breakdowns on stage, but it's fun to watch, guys, I promise. You'll have a great time. Please come watch it. The last live shows were such a blast.
Oh,
I cannot wait,
God,
to get back on stage again. It's going to be great.
It's so good. And there will be a lot of, by the way, a lot of our stage props are self-help books. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, if you fancy stealing some, you know, I would never begrudge it. I'd be a hypocrite. I'd be a damned hypocrite if I denied you the help you needed. If you want to steal Women Who Love Too Much, then you obviously need it. I'm very excited about our guest today
as well. I am very excited. This is I loved this episode. I loved recording it. You are in for a real treat, guys. Settle in.
He is. Get ready. Talk about, you know, funny comedy blondes. Rachel Paris in the future. And then in the very immediate future, get ready for the joy that is Daniel Fox.
The way they were.
Daniel, thank you so much for doing our podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah.
Good to hear. Thank you.
We're so thrilled to have you on our podcast. We are unashamedly a romantic space. We love it. Mm-hmm. We love this crazy little thing called love. Do you consider yourself a romantic?
I thought I did.
Oh,
and I think I was once, but like, oh, having listened to other episodes of this podcast, I was like, yeah, of course I'm romantic. And I had a good long think about it. And then I was like, oh, I'm like a matronly, I think I'm more like a mother in a relationship.
Okay.
I think I am romantic, but I think I show it in, no, do you know what? Scratch that. I am a romantic,
okay,
but I think I'm a romantic in it as like a 17th century old cook kind of way. I'm
okay,
like,
okay,
So and your like, love language is scrubbing clothes, yeah, scrubbing like, floors on your knees?
I made you a steamed pudding, coming out the cold. I'm that kind of...
acts of service, acts of service.
I'm an acts of service. Love. Yeah, I'm a feeder. And
he's a feeder. That's yeah. my so, kind of romance.
Yeah. What's the most... So develop, talk us through that. What's like the most romantic thing you've ever done or has been done to you?
Oh my gosh. I think my boyfriend's very good at romance. He's very good at like romantic chat, actually. Like not in terms of like, what's it called? Like sexy talk, but just he's very good at being quite sincere and just saying nice things where and he is like British, but my ultra British sensibilities come out and go, oh, too much. I can't handle it. Don't stop. Tell me I'm an idiot and ignore me. And he has definitely like, taken us off on a lovely little like weekend break of an anniversary to
like surprised you,
yeah, and like a lot of thought into things. Oh, wow. Like we went to like a vegetarian Michelin star restaurant because I didn't eat meat in Berlin. It was like a lovely time. And then for me, I think I'm really good at gifts and acts of service. I think those are my two. So I'm like a meaningful gift. It's, again, I don't eat meat, but I will make my boyfriend like a lavish kind of steak and roast dinner and all of that sort of stuff going on.
I love a steak cooked by a veggie or a vegan. It's always better because they always make it precisely how you want it. They're not sticking around trying to prove you right. They just make it how you want it.
And it's so moist because of all the crying.
Yes, because of all the tears. Yes. Exactly. It's filled with pain.
Yeah.
It's given
perfectly seasoned salt.
Romance.
Well, so you picked a very interesting couple.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's the word Grania's using. The gears are already turning. Interesting. Okay.
A very interesting couple. Now, again, Chantelle does not know of whomst we are thinking of.
Okay.
But she will soon. Because Chantelle, I can tell you, our golden couple got together in the glorious year of 1987.
Okay.
1987. So just to remind you, to set the scene of what was in the zeitgeist when these lovers were locking eyes for the first time. This was the year of the first Simpsons cartoon was shown on television. The cross-channel ferry capsizes outside the harbour of Zeebruggen, Belgium, killing 193 passengers and crew.
Speaking of romance.
And three men and a baby hits the cinema.
Oh, now we are speaking of romance. Those thighs and those shorts. Tom Selleck, what a man. Go on.
I thought you were talking about Steve Guttenberg.
But any three of them, or Denson, all three of them all day long, every day. Rain on me. Go on.
So again, we don't know if a ferry disaster, The Simpsons, or
three
Tom
men
Selleck
and a baby
in a t-shirt caused this couple to get together. We don't know that it didn't. Because, sadly, this was a burning love romance, but it didn't last. Even the Microsoft paperclip couldn't help these nerds. Love was a Windows into another world.
So is that... I don't know what her name is, though. Is this Bill Gates? And his wife? I don't know her name. Oh, no, wait, hang on. Oh, I just had it. It just flashed in my brain. I was thinking of their foundation they have. And her name's always mentioned on their foundation. Bill and Belinda? Melinda?
Yes.
Melissa?
Yes.
Melissa? Did I get there? Melinda Gates.
Not a name.
Melinda Gates, there.
Not a real name.
Not a real name. We got there. Oh, wow. I think this is our first proper celeb couple, but not in the entertainment industry or historical figures. Like this is a really, maybe, no, we had Murdoch. Maybe this is like up there with Murdoch in terms of like, this is a big one. Very our generation as well. Oh, I love it. Good Hefty choice, Daniel.
I think they're an interesting duo.
Yes.
We'll go into the weeds, but yeah, talk us through what is it that interests you about them?
Because they're like so meek. And obviously, like when I was growing up, they were together the entire time that I have, until very recently, until they broke up, that I have been alive, but never really think about them because they're not like a glamorous couple.
Yeah.
But they are a power couple because they literally, as a couple, had the net worth of Iceland when they were together. Yeah.
God,
so it's like this like
crazy
duo maneuvering with like, the net worth of a small country, and when they like the movements of that, how much of an effect that actually has on the world. Fascinating.
Interesting.
Yes. So if you're, by the way, right now Googling Bill Gates One Direction ? Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft.
And as a result, you should be using Bing, not Google.
And Melinda Gates, his wife. And I feel bad going his wife, because obviously, as we'll go into it, she is a formidable person in her own right.
I think it's okay to accept that Bill Gates is more famous than his wife. Yes. I think it's all right for us to acknowledge that.
I think we could, yeah.
Your feminist credentials remain intact, Grania. I think it's okay.
We don't know. Maybe she's working on this groundbreaking computer program. That
You're
just
right.
Who knows?
By the time this comes out, people will be like, Bill who?
Have you heard of Bill Gates, Melinda Gates' husband?
Yeah, exactly. You never know. The younger Gen Z, who knows? They could be all over her. Who knows?
Well, already I can just hear people.
Literally, Daniel's dog is begging for it. He knows.
I don't even know what's
He's
happening.
He's like, Grania, that is dog speak for Grania.
I'll be back in one.
What about their star signs? They know, you know, dogs are always on the spiritual plane.
Yeah. They're in touch. They're wiser than we are.
That was epic timing.
Amazing.
It's absolutely insane. Bill Gates just at my door. So it's like...
I have something to say about this, Daniel. She will never be more famous than me.
Well, if you listeners, if you heard that, that was Daniel's dog interrupting the podcast to say, enough of this. What about their star signs?
Exactly.
Mm.
Bill, October 28th.
Dun, 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 dun. Scorpio season.
Oh my gosh.
Of course. Scorpio boy.
And just like a Scorpio, evil but successful.
Yeah.
All evil geniuses.
Prime fuckboy star sign.
That's right.
And you can see it in his eyes.
Yeah, trouble. We all knew when he was all trouble.
All four
when he
of them.
Melinda, now this is the first, August 15th, which is the same day, birthday as the country of India and your little pal, Grania.
That's right. That's Grania. Literally, your birthday twin. We've never had someone with either of our birthdays, have we?
Wow.
Oh, we have to start a new spreadsheet.
It could have been me.
Yeah, that's why he chose her. He had to get a girl with August 15th.
Yeah.
So, Daniel, what I want is, using the knowledge that I've just given you, that this is a Scorpio and a Leo, what percentage compatibility did the universe ever give of a match like this working out? What do you think?
You might want to consult your dog. He seems to have some opinions on this.
Yeah.
He is looking at me. He's saying 47%.
Oh, 47%. Okay.
Well, as our resident Virgo and the actual birthday twin, Grania has very strong opinions about Scorpios. Mm. So I'm going to go with that general vibe and say a very low percentage of 15%.
Okay, well, I can tell you, according to the horoscopes, the planets that govern us all, Leo, Melinda / Grania.
Sorry, is Leo. Listen, Virgo, sorry.
Is a passionate lover, warm and always in search of action, while Scorpio, Bill, is sex itself.
Grania, never do that again, because now I'm picturing things about you I don't want to picture. And also, it's with Bill Gates.
Who is sex itself as well.
He's sex itself. That's science. I'm sorry. That's science.
Oh my God.
When they get together, they could have real trouble finding middle ground between their personalities. They simply don't operate in the same ways. And while Leo, Melinda, Grania, wants to be respected, Scorpio, Bill, understands that all respect dies in the act of sex.
Bill just wants to fuck.
When you see Bill Gates, what do you think? I think, oh, what a fuck machine. That's what
I think.
Sex.
Wow. That yeah.
Bill, 9 inches and proud Gates. That's what I'm saying. All girth, no mirth. That's the vibe. I just made that one up, by the way. You can steal that if you want.
All girthy, no mercy from Bill Gates.
That's right.
Well, the universe gave this match 5%.
I was closest, at least. They had no chance. His appetite is just too much for
her. Voracious.
He's got appetite for destruction. So let's have a look at their emotional CVs before they meet.
Okay.
So, by the way, I have to, all right, with other celebrities, I've got a lot more to work with.
I was going to ask you this, Grania, like the research for this was a very different vibe, I presume.
It was different. It was a different, I had to wear like glasses.
Lots of New Scientist interviews, yeah, and like Less People magazine.
The Financial Times columns.
This is what I was able to work out. Bill was small for his age and bullied as a child. Okay. He drops out of Harvard to set up Microsoft.
Famously, from a garage, famously.
Yeah. Melinda really liked computers.
That's her whole past. That's what we get. Parents, childhood, and she likes computers. That's what we know about her.
Okay, so let's put these two lovers together. So Bill met Melinda after she started as a product manager at Microsoft. So okay. When they meet, he is the CEO and technically her boss.
Wow, I didn't know he was dipping in company inkwell. I had no idea. Interesting. Okay.
So they meet up in a parking lot.
Who hasn't? Which is,
and he asks her on a date. He makes a big deal while he's asking his employee on a date of how busy he is. So this is how Melinda remembers it. He said, you know, I was thinking maybe we could go out 2 weeks from tonight. I said, 2 weeks from tonight? I've no idea what I'm doing 2 weeks from tonight. You aren't spontaneous enough for me.
Oh, God, this. OK, I'm calling red flags right from the start. This is not a good beginning. A parking lot. And can we hang out? Can we hang out 2 weeks from now? 1900 hours. Oh, God, no.
But bear in mind all the other dates he needs to be going on as a pussy machine.
Like, as a pussy machine. It's true. It's true.
He be plowing. So he's
he be plowing. It's because him and his pal Steve Jobs are in competition to get the most pussy.
So then she said he called her an hour later and said, is this spontaneous enough for you?
No, you just called HR and got her number, you weirdo. It's not spontaneous.
I think that's a genius move from her, though. I think she's... If you were like, right, my... Is he a billionaire at this point or is he just millionaire? If you were like multi-millionaire boss is like, hey, I'd like a date. And you're like, I need to get this all the way through the goalposts.
Yeah.
Then you say, not spontaneous enough for me.
A little smart move, Melinda. She had her eye on the prize.
Well, she replied, oh, I guess that is pretty spontaneous. I guess we can try.
There we go.
Okay.
I guess like we can get married. So I guess we don't need a prenup. How spontaneous?
Yeah, you know, it's really spontaneous. No prenup. That's the most spontaneous thing.
So this is what Bill says, which I think I'm just going to say it and just react as you will. So he says, when he met Melinda, I was a young 38-year-old, and she was a mature 28-year-old.
Okay.
They're both old souls. Like, when you look at them, they're very, like, Theresa May walking holiday vibe.
Yeah.
So I sort of... It doesn't feel quite the same vibe. It's like...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. She seemed like a 28-year-old who... I'm on Bill's side with this, yeah.
Okay.
Grania's not. Grania's saying red flag number four.
28?
I'm just when anybody ever says, when a man uses the, like, I was a young head on old shoulders.
Oh, yeah. And the famous, she's an old soul. We all know that. I just, that to me, when it's like, you know, 58 and 23, that's when I'm a bit like, oh, okay. Mm. But in this case, and they both work in tech and they both seem quite, you know, I'm not exactly life of the party types. I'm for it.
Okay. So this is what he said. When we first met, she had other boyfriends and I had Microsoft. We were like, hey, we're not really serious about each other, are we? We're not going to demand each other's time. And Melinda, who had just landed at the startup as her first job outside of college, agreed, saying she was still figuring it out. I was new to Microsoft. There was a lot of men there. You know, you're still looking around. You're still figuring it out.
I mean, her defense, it would have been, as a straight woman, it would have been a pretty like big pool to work in if you were working in a tech company. Now it'd be absolutely hell on earth as it's incel city and they're all assholes. Mm-hmm. But I imagine sort of late 80s, early 90s, that would have been quite a lot of options for the woman in tech.
Yeah.
She had a lot to deal with.
It would have been like the female heterosexual's Playboy mansion.
Yeah.
If you're really into fleeces.
I was about to say, like, what?
And bank accounts.
Yeah, and people who are fours across the board.
Yeah. But I think if you were a female working in tech in the 90s, you too were a four across the board. So I think it's fine.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
You're into the same stuff. I think it works.
Yeah.
So Bill said, after about a year, sort of to our surprise, certainly my surprise, we said, hey, I love you. And she said she loved me. And then it was like, wow, now what's going to happen?
Okay, so they were just banging, banging, banging. Now they're in love. Got it.
So throughout the relationship, they really played up the fact that they were like, it was like an office romance. So that, like, even from the start, it was like, we're the cute office couple. They're like the Richard and Judy of the tech world.
Right, okay.
Jim and Pam.
Jim and Pam.
If Jim and Pam were in the Illuminati.
Yeah.
If instead of like, oh no, are we going to move to, what was it, where is it she wanted to move to, and he wanted to move to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Instead of moving to Philadelphia, it's like, Bill wants us to move to our underground bunker in New Zealand.
Yeah. Bill wants to invent COVID. No, I don't actually believe that. I'm not one of those.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So in 93, 6 years into the relationship, they get engaged. Then the next year, they get married at a secret destination wedding in Hawaii. So they got their wedding, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, was on New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. It's kind of baller to make all your guests have a shit New Year's Eve just to go to your wedding. There is a bit kind of fuck you-ness to it, which I respect.
But it's also in Hawaii.
Which is so, I mean, I can't explain to you how basic a wedding in Hawaii is for an American in 93. That is, I can't even think of the UK equivalent. It's so, so basic to have like your exotic wedding in Hawaii. Like that's a prize that was given out on Jeopardy. Like that's not that big a deal.
Okay.
So it's a very lavish affair, even though there's only 130 guests. They rent out all 250 rooms at the hotel. And also they book up all the helicopters on Maui.
Oh, I mean, of course, if you go to Bill Gates' wedding, I expect everyone to be in a presidential suite.
So you can't get in, you can't get out.
Oh.
Also invited was Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, obviously.
I was going to ask, do we have the guest list? That's a guest list I'd be interested in.
Definitely Paul Allen, Warren Buffett.
Oh, of course, of course. Once you're in the Millionaires Club.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Graham, owner and former publisher of the Washington Post.
There we go.
And the governor of Washington.
There he is. So he's doing everything. He's got media, politics, liberal elite. He's ticking all the boxes.
They also had Willie Nelson and Alice Cooper performing.
That blows my mind.
Love it. Especially in 93. That's a big deal. That's like right when Alice Cooper was in Wayne's World. That's a bit, I'm just saying, that's a big get.
Can you imagine the two of them talking to one another? Bill Gates and Alice Cooper.
And Alice Cooper. Willie Nelson offering him like some like a doobie. And Bill Gates being like, I've never heard this before. It'd just be mental.
Maybe them both giving him, you know, like marriage advice.
Yeah.
This is like Warren Buffett and Marilyn Manson, like sitting together. Bizarre duo.
So this is Melinda put up a photograph of her and Bill cutting the cake. And this was the caption. We told you it was time to cut the cake. You thought that meant you needed to cut a slice for everyone. And you did some astonishingly quick math to calculate exactly how big each slice should be. This is the moment I realised what was happening, and also the moment you realised that the cake had a cardboard middle and I had forgotten to mention it.
That seems made up. Everyone knows when you cut the cake as a bride and groom, it doesn't mean for the whole party.
I don't know if he knows that though. Does the man who made Microsoft Paperclip know that?
True. How many weddings? You're right. Maybe so. It seems like a bit of a cutesy story. She's made up to humanise Bill Gates. I'm just saying.
So Bill and Melinda have their first kid in 1996.
Luckiest child in the whole wide world.
Then Melinda leaves Microsoft to become a stay-at-home mom. Then 2 years later, they announce a $100 million investment in children's vaccine access and distribution to developing countries. Then they have their second child in 1999. In 2000, Bill and Melinda established the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Mm-hmm. And then in 2005, they are named Time's Person of the Year.
Both of them as a one. They literally are one person. Okay.
As a brand. So this is very much like, I always think of it like montage in the background. It's like, don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
That's a very song I would associate with them. That's very, because that was Clinton's, like his song when he was going, that's a very sort of 90s, that generation boomers, like favorite song. I can see that. Yeah.
So I think this is a good sort of time to pause. And Daniel, what I want to do is imagine if suddenly a message flashed up on your Microsoft computer and it's Bill and Melinda. They are in town. They've got a night off and they want to hang out with you. So what do you imagine a night on the tiles with these crazy kids being like?
A night on the tiles.
A night on the tiles. I think it would be. They are definitely like... They're taking you on some sort of historical walking trek, or like a
you think they're ramblers?
Or like a Scrabble tasting or something.
And like, oh God, a Scrabble tasting.
Bridge. This sort of like bridge orgy. That I think they might fuck. Like I think they might be keys in the bowl, but I think it's weird and nerdy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because they've got that incredibly wholesome vibe. When you look at them,
those are the ones.
Yeah, exactly. She's very wholesome. He looks like a Sith Lord. And like together, it's very like, oh, we don't do a lot. But I bet weird shit happens.
Daniel, what do you think of their vibe as a couple? Are they flirty with each other? Is there any public displays of affection? Mm. Is there banter?
I think there's some affection in a Christian way. I don't think they are Christian even, but I just feel like they give me like youth pastor vibes, the two of
Lots
them.
Lots of hand-holding.
Yeah, hand-holding, sort of closed mouth smiling.
Definitely. Lots of closed mouth smiling.
And saying like each other's names. Like one will say something vaguely kooky and the other one will go, Bill.
Lots of chaste pecks on the cheek.
Chaste pecks. I think we're going out for a meal. I don't know. I don't know if they're like, do I think of them as a couple that likes to spend? Maybe. Maybe they take you out somewhere fancy, but like, it's not the cool place to go. It's somewhere that was in 8 years ago.
Of course.
Yeah. And you go, and then probably to like, we know this crazy little place and it is like an underground bridge club. And you are you are playing some sort of board game, Mahjong, something like that.
Yeah, but everyone's naked.
Everyone's fingering themselves.
Everyone's naked. And no one mentions it.
No one mentions it. No one smiles. No one comes. But everyone is doing it.
And you know what you said about the restaurant? I'm with you on this day or I'm watching it. And Bill strikes me as one of those like multi-billionaires who like his quirk is that he like will go to a super fancy restaurant, be like, oh, but oh, can I just have some chicken soup and a glass of milk? Mm. Like that'll be his thing, that he has to order some really basic food. I don't really like fancy food. I'm not really like that. So he'll go to this like Michelin star restaurant, but he'll order chicken soup and a glass of milk and he'll only ever eat that. Yes, you know what I mean?
100%. Because he's like the opposite of Steve Jobs, but I bet he wishes.
Oh, 100%.
Because Steve Jobs also was like very particular with dietary stuff, but in like a cool way.
So Bill's a nicer guy, but a lot more boring and drab.
I think so.
Oh, they're both, to be clear, they are both evil. I know that. they're both base level evil. I just mean that Bill kept it hidden underneath the kind of, oh, shucks kind of demeanor.
Yes.
I imagine him very much sort of like being sort of obviously hyper-focused if he's interested in what you're talking about. And I imagine him sort of like maybe getting lost on his phone, and Melinda very much like trying to be like, Bill, you went there, didn't you, Bill?
Yes.
Or, Bill, oh, did you know Daniel went there too? Bill, now, hang on, Bill, you'll be interested in this.
Yes.
I see that Melinda very much in that role.
I agree with you on that.
Can I cut in here to say I once sat right directly in front of Bill Gates during a play? I was seeing I was seeing a play last year.
So you've lived this fantasy that we're going through.
With my mum, we went and saw a play in London with David Tennant in it. And we were like sitting there and this American couple next to us leant over and went, I'm so sorry, but is that Bill Gates behind us? And when we turned around, it was Bill fucking Gates and two
Fuck
security
off.
Guards. And then when the moment the play ended, like seconds as people were applauding, he's up.
He was gone.
Security guards are whisking him out.
Puff of smoke.
Like black armored car is leaving out the front.
Done. My God, what was the play?
Oh, a very dark play called Good, about a man descending into Nazism in the 1940s.
Oh my God. So it wasn't even some like massive, you know, it wasn't like, I don't know, Hamilton. It wasn't some massive play that everyone knows or
not
anything.
Some
That's
fun
so
thing.
Nuts.
But I think he was over for like other reasons, because he was definitely like in the news having met like the prime minister or something that weekend.
Right.
And then he was obviously like, oh, again, classic
classic Bill.
Lalinda, I'm naming them.
I'll catch a West End show.
I'll go and see a very highly political, miserable play.
Yeah. And then probably go for a meal at the Ivy afterwards.
Yes.
Chicken soup. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is what Melinda, how Melinda describes how they spent their time together. We do a lot of reading and we do
Shock.
And we do more jigsaw puzzles than most people.
Oh,
we watch a ton of video series. We recently watched all of Downton Abbey.
Oh my God. Just trying to surprise us, Melinda.
But
just
recently,
pretend, make something up.
Recently, we've got into doing cat and anal.
And this is Melinda, we lead this organization together. The goals, the people we hire, the values we set. We enjoy doing that together. Bill is the first person I want to talk to when I get back from being out in the field. We sharpen each other's thinking.
Oh God, this is much more of a partnership, it feels like, than a romantic marriage
so
far.
So his big indulgence was he built this insane house in Washington State. So here's some details. It's cost $63 million and it's 66,000 square feet.
I don't know what that is. Like 66,000 square. Yeah, I just can't even, my brain is, I can't even fathom that. What do you mean is that? How big is that?
I have no idea.
This is why Bill didn't get with
How
you.
How much did you say? Did you say 66,000?
It's 66,000.
So this is saying that a football field is 64,000.
So this is bigger than a fucking football. Jesus Christ. Okay, all right.
So he's got a football field-sized house. There's a trampoline room with a 20-foot ceiling, a reception hall that can accommodate up to 200 guests. And this, I think, is a strange choice. It has 7 bedrooms and 18 bathrooms.
Oh, no,
I'm into that.
They strike
that
me
makes
as an,
sense.
They strike me as an IBS couple, so that makes sense.
And also, I would imagine. Okay, we can work this out. Actually, it's a 7-bedroom, so 7 of those are definitely en suites.
Yeah.
So that's that done. So we're down to 11. Then you'd probably have like 2 or 3 of those by the pool or the sauna or whatever, places like that. Then you're down to about 6 or 7 of just guest bathrooms. And if you're in a place the size of a football field, You don't need to be walking 20 minutes to get to the next bathroom. You're going to need one. Think of a mall. Think of a shopping mall. How often they have to have a bathroom in it. That actually makes sense.
And you've got like a 200 capacity.
Yeah, because he's throwing these huge parties.
Yeah.
I guarantee if you're at Bill Gates' party, you are not wasting time in a queue in the toilets. I'm saying that.
He also has a favorite tree that he has monitored electronically 24 hours a day.
I'm down with that. I think that's cute. Yeah, I like great. It. I love trees.
So you would think everything seems ideal for this glamorous couple. They do good work. They've got this amazing palatial mansion. However, trouble clouds are forming on the horizon.
Okay, so where are we? What year are we in when trouble begins forming?
So we're mid-noughties. After reports in the New York Times that Bill is a little bit of a cheeky boy at work.
Well, we said he's a pussy pounder. We knew it's going to come back.
So, and this is all reported in the New York Times. This is my own journalism.
That's a reputable source.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Mr. Gates, Bill, as we feel close enough to call him, pursued women who worked for him at Microsoft and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. In 2006, he attended a presentation by a female Microsoft employee. Bill, who at the time was the company's chairman, left the meeting and then immediately emailed the woman to ask her out for dinner.
He's got a pattern.
He's got a type. He likes
a type. He's got a type.
He likes a gal who knows her way around a laptop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he likes a girl on his payroll as well. Yeah.
So in the email, he wrote, "If this makes you uncomfortable, pretend it never happened."
Okay. Hint, hint, don't tell HR. Okay.
So apparently the woman did find it uncomfortable and she did decide to pretend it never happened.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Then a year or two later, when Bill was on a trip to New York on behalf of the foundation, he was traveling with a woman who worked for the foundation. At a cocktail party, he lowered his voice and said, "I want to see you. Will you have dinner with me?"
Oh, God, Grania, before you go, I just realised he's a multi-billionaire. It's the mid-2000s. There's a little man named Epstein come into the story at all.
Well,
or is Bill
just
out of that?
Put a little pin in it. Put a little pin
no.
in it. So apparently,
oh, no.
Bill was known for making clumsy approaches to women in and out of the office. Apparently, most of the employees said that they did not perceive it as predatory, just a bit cringe and embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay.
But what they also found really cringe and embarrassing was that in meetings at the foundation, Bill made sure his voice was dominant and could be dismissive towards Melinda, causing people to feel like a bit embarrassed. So meanwhile, okay. while this is all going on, Melinda is trying to empower women in the workplace and spend $1 billion promoting women's power and influence in the United States.
Okay, but deep down, they're starting to hate each other. Now he's putting her down in public and everything, okay? The marriage is falling apart.
Also around this time, 2008, he meets a Russian bridge player.
You said bridge. Daniel, one of those classic bridge porn.
I literally knew it.
Bridge orgy.
Yeah. I knew it.
Mila Antonova at an international bridge tournament.
Yeah, that's what they call it, a bridge tournament. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So she was in her 20s, he was in his 50s, and they had a romantic moment together.
Right. Okay.
20s and 50s.
So she was a 20-something, he went to a bridge tournament, frequented by a bunch of billionaires. As someone who is part Russian, I can say, we all know why she was there. It wasn't to play bridge. I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
I've got just this note and it says, "Enter Epstein."
Okay.
Oh, God. I knew it was coming.
I hate when Enter Jesus. Epstein happens.
I think most people do. Yeah.
It's never like, "Good, Jeffrey Epstein is here.
He'll clean this up."
Oh.
Bill meets Jeffrey at the beginning of 2011. So this is 3 years after he pleaded guilty to soliciting prostitution from a minor.
Right.
So his reputation is already a bit stinky.
Yeah.
So this is what Bill wrote in a 2011 email to colleagues about Epstein. "His lifestyle is very different and kind of intriguing, although it would not work for me."
That's positive that he said that. Okay. In a private email as well. That's so far so good.
So in 2013, Melinda meets Epstein for the first time in New York with Bill. She said she met with him exactly one time because she wanted to see who this man was. And this is what she says. I regretted it the second I walked in the door. He was abhorrent. He was evil personified. My heart breaks for these women. So apparently she just didn't, immediately she was like, And she apparently was like, Bill, you are to stay away from him. I do not like this guy. You stay away from him.
But she did say that after everything came out about Epstein, by the sound.
No. She said after she met him for that. So she met him. She said to Bill, I don't trust him. You're not to interact with him.
Is there proof that she said that? Or did she say she said that? That's what I mean. It's like, obviously he was an awful man, but would, she's like, his aura was evil.
I knew immediately. I knew he was evil. It's like, you can just say I met him and he was a bit weird. I didn't know anything about this, but I knew.
Things are about to get a little bit more complicated because Jeffrey Epstein knows the bridge player.
Of course he does. Mary referred to what I said you a few minutes ago. Of course he does.
So apparently she had gone to Epstein to try and get funding for this organization she was trying to start. He hadn't given her funding, but had given her a free place to stay in New York.
Classic.
So also at the same time, he was trying to start up a fund that he needed Bill Gates specifically to invest in.
Okay.
So he tries to blackmail Bill about his relationship with the Russian bridge player.
Oh, Epstein's good. That was clever. That was clever, Epstein. That took a long, that was a long con.
Classic Epstein.
Classic Epstein. Oh. He's like a Bond villain.
Yeah, or like a Scooby-Doo villain.
So while this is going on, in 2019, Microsoft's board of directors opened an investigation into one of the cases where he had sought to initiate an intimate relationship with a company employee in the year 2000.
So now the business is into it as well. Everyone's beginning to learn all these things, which means Melinda's learning all this.
Yeah.
It's now becoming, it's getting out there. Okay.
The following year, Bill decides to step down from Microsoft's board. A statement is released where a spokesperson for Bill says, there was an affair almost 20 years ago which ended amicably. Gates' decision to transition off the board was in no way related to this matter.
Oh my God, that's an amazing statement to put out.
Bill decides. I'm deciding to go to prison is a choice I am making.
That's an amazing statement. He had an affair, but this isn't to do with that. Honestly, why are you telling us about it? That's incredible.
Oh my God,
Melinda drafted that statement. No, Melinda drafted
when I say it out loud, I guess it does sound like it's the same thing. But to me, like, oh my God, that's so random.
So random.
So in the same year, the relationship between Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein bursts into the public view. Melinda is very unhappy. Mm-hmm. A New York Times article comes out and includes details about Bill's interaction with Mr. Epstein that Melinda had not known about.
Okay.
So soon after...
Melinda's covering herself well here.
Soon after its publication, she begins divorce proceedings.
And what year is this then?
So this is 2021. They officially announced their divorce.
So she started all the main divorce proceedings post-Epstein scandal.
Yeah.
And post-Epstein death. So post the Epstein of what we know now.
When did he die? When did he die?
Yeah, I'm trying. Did he die pre or post-COVID?
Pre. I'm sure it was pre.
She started talking about the divorce in like 2019. I think
2019.
So just when the Epstein stuff was bubbling up, then that was her like, I'm getting the fuck out of this.
Okay.
That's interesting. I wonder how longer this would have gone on had that not happened. She just kind of was like, I have to wash my hands of this for the optics vibes, it sounds like.
Because I watched that interview where she said that.
Did you?
Yeah. And it's like very American PR vibe.
Yeah. It's like, it sounds like that.
Categorically, I knew he was evil the moment I met him. I regretted even meeting him the one time. And it was exactly one time. And you're like,
yeah, okay. You've just been told, get it out there. You met him once. Make it clear it was only once. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, these are the talking points you must say to clear your name of all of this. So it's all Bill.
Yeah.
So this
and
is...
someone pops up a picture of her and Ghislaine taking selfies at a party and it all falls apart.
Her and Ghislaine at a Scrabble championship together.
Hashtag girls night.
Night on the tiles.
Oh my God. And then they launch the Melinda and Ghislaine Foundation.
And Ghislaine Foundation.
Plot twist. It is a makeup brand. It's foundation.
Yeah, that's it.
It covers up everything.
There we go.
Yes.
When you really need to conceal.
So this is Bill and Melinda's announcement. After a great deal of thought and a lot of work on our relationship, we have made the decision to end our marriage. Over the last 27 years, we have raised three incredible children and built a foundation that works all over the world to enable all people to lead healthy, productive lives. We continue to share a belief in that mission and will continue our work together at the foundation, but we no longer believe we can grow together as a couple in this next phase of our lives. We ask for space and privacy for our family as we begin to navigate this new life.
I mean, that's a media statement by numbers, really. That's pretty standard.
But what's interesting, I think, is the nuance of the interviews they gave afterwards and what they're trying to communicate.
Talk to me.
So this is what Bill said. Okay. When I got married, yeah, Microsoft was a big deal. That's kind of like a real humble brag. It was kind of a big deal, Microsoft, heard of it.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
But every marriage, as the kids leave the house, will go through a transition. Mine, sadly, went through this transition called divorce. But from my point of view, it was a great marriage. I wouldn't have changed it, you know. I wouldn't choose to marry someone else.
I wouldn't have chosen to marry someone else, or I just wouldn't. Is he basically saying, I will never marry again? Interesting.
And he's kind of making it sound like, oh, listen, it's empty nest syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about Epstein, I promise. It's not about all the girls off shagging
sometimes
in the office. It's just, you know, we just grew apart.
A relationship goes on. Maybe you buy a crazy car. Maybe you fly on a pedophile's jet. Whatever it is.
Who knows? It's just, you know, it's just the ebbs and flows of love.
So here is quotes from an interview with Melinda. Well, we certainly have a working relationship. And I would say we're friendly at this point. Friends is a different word for me, and that might come over time, but for me, there's still healing that needs to be done.
Oh,
it's
unbelievably
painful in innumerable ways, but I have had the privacy to get through it. Days when I'm literally laying on the floor, on the carpet, thinking, how can this be? To outright anger. The part of the grieving process, you're grieving at loss of something you thought you had and thought you had for your lifetime. This is painful stuff. She says, Bill and I are now on friendly terms, but definitely not friends.
Oh my God. Speaking of friends, that is up there with Jennifer Aniston's He Hasn't Got Sensitivity Chip Brad Pitt interview. Yeah. She is pissed. She is not taking it well. Oh my God. Lying on the carpet. That's such an evocative thing to like. That is because she has done exactly that. This multi-billionaire lying on the carpet of one of the wings of the house, just wondering what the fuck happened. Oh my God.
Lovely insight into the interior of their home, though. A wall-to-wall carpet.
Exactly. Carpeted. Mm. I would have said hardwood floor, especially in the Pacific Northwest. All that damp. Yikes.
Yeah. Although of them, they do give me a kind of sort of carpet vibe.
I bet they have carpets in the bathroom.
Yeah, it was about the same. Extra carpet around the toilet.
The extra carpet around the toilet and the carpet thing around the toilet paper, that kind of stuff, yeah.
This is the bit that makes me like her. Her post-divorce is my peak Melinda.
Talk to me more. So far, she fuck it, I'm airing all dirty laundry. I'm just going to be honest with everyone. Is it a bit like the PR machine has slowed down and she's like, I'm just going to be Melinda?
You can see that she's had some PR. Advice, but also she's just she has aged much better than him.
Okay.
He is classy. And there's some real cool moments in those interviews. I mean, even that of being we're friendly, not friends, is zinger.
And even that alone would be a zinger, but then she goes into full detail of the anguish, the pain. This is fucking horrible. He screwed me over.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. P.S. I got half the money, lay men, form an orderly queue.
Well, she very much She doesn't have to give that detail. And it's very much like, he's not the man I married. Yeah. I was betrayed. And yeah. considering what we all know, the context of that
yeah.
is quite damning.
And when they keep asking her, being like, what about uh-huh. the affairs? What about Epstein? She always goes, I think that's a question you need to ask Bill.
Oh, I love it. Which oh, I really Queen enjoy. Melinda. Yeah. I love this. Melinda, you know what Melinda needs to do? She needs to give Hillary fucking Clinton a bell. And yeah. babes, I've got some ideas for you. Get out. We can hang out together. I can pay for your house forever. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Let's be like the couple everyone's always wanted. I'm team Melinda / Hillary.
Yeah, me too.
Well, we may in our head have already guessed the answer to this question, yes, but I need to pose it. Daniel, this couple, I mean, they were together for so long. They had this foundation together. They have these children together. They seem temperamentally quite similar. Why could Bill and Melinda Gates not make their marriage work? What do you think went wrong?
Two words. It starts with J and ends in steam.
Yeah, that... Bill's wandering cog, I think.
Yeah.
But also, like, I mean, they held on longer than many governments, most yes. governments, any government yes. other than like a dictatorship, and they were wielding more power than quite a lot of them.
Yes.
So, like, very true. There is that to it. Like, they were these, when you look at them and they're sort of a bit like, if you didn't know them and you saw them on holiday, you'll be like, oh, look at that sweet, boring couple in their sort of like khaki walking around.
Yeah, khaki and plaid.
Yeah. And yet they are literal like giant movers in the whole world. So I think it's that. Like, I think it's a mix of Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
And then even them, who seem like quite sensible people, having to just like, they were holding themselves to a higher standard as well. This whole thing of being like, we read, we sharpen each other's minds. Not one day of my relationship with my boyfriend has sharpened my mind. My mind is dulling by the day and I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like they were kind of the poster children, maybe not so much towards the end, but I always remember the beginning. They were like, you know, we don't give our kids that much money. Our kids have to work for their money. We're not like all those other billionaires out there. We give everything to charity, guys. You know, we're different. And that's such, as you said, it's a lot of pressure for them to have to live up to. Aside from him banging every secretary in his office and the Epstein of it all, I wonder if a large part of it was that they had just become like literally two prime ministers and less like a married couple.
I think so.
Just two people in charge of a small country.
I also wonder if, going back to how Gráinne described how Bill actually approached it, it's like, we know he had like an affair or two, but it sounds like he tried to initiate so many affairs in such a meek and lame way. And everyone was like, oh, even though you are a billionaire, no.
I know. That's a really good point.
Like
how bad is the banter?
So if I was Melinda and I saw that, I would be like, that is you being unable to cheat on me. It's worse than if you...
That's more of an ick.
Yeah, that is. I'm so turned off.
Yeah, I agree.
You could buy these women an island and they are still like...
Literally.
Nah. No.
And then she must after a while be like, yeah, like, hang on a sec. I'm also a billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, we get to our second question. In every split, although we act like, oh, they're both happier and, you know, everybody, it was mutually decided on, blah, blah, blah. There is a winner and there is a loser. So I will just let you know, she was allocated $2 billion in the divorce. Just use that with what you will. In the great split between Bill and Melinda Gates, who thrived and who simply survived?
I think they're both minorly...
You have to pick one.
Okay. Melinda's thriving.
It's hard and Melinda's
and
thriving.
And Bill is
Thank you.
Surviving.
Thank you.
And I thought that Bill was going to do a Jeff Bezos and start dating some like wildly hot kind of like model woman and try and like cool himself up and start
like
wearing...
rebrand himself. Right, right, right. Yeah.
But Melinda's done it.
Has
she?
She's
dating like a hot guy.
Is she?
And also, isn't Jeff's new thing like a Fox News anchor or something? And so is hers.
Jeff Bezos is an airline pilot person. He's like, yeah, Fox News person. That's right. A news person. And she's dating this guy as well.
I'm looking up Melinda Gates because I didn't know she was seeing anybody.
She's dating hot... I think he's Fox News or at some point was been Fox News, like a hot man.
Oh, yes. John Dupree, a former reporter for Fox News.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm looking it up now.
So now Melinda.
We all look up John Dupree.
Now Melinda.
Yeah. How long has this been happening?
He looks very, and it's in my mind at the moment because I've just started watching it, very husband in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Which one?
No, as in like generic.
All of them.
Yeah, exactly. An amalgamation. I'm going to put it on the WhatsApp group.
Oh, him. John. Oh, yes. Upgrade for Melinda.
Yes.
By like several points.
Yeah, yes. I mean, he does look incredibly. He looks very LA, very Botoxy, very bleached teeth, blah, blah, blah. But like, fuck
oh,
it.
I bet he's horrible beyond words. But like.
Yeah, and I bet he's really boring. But I mean, after 30 odd years of Bill Gates, is anyone boring anymore?
Imagine the turn on for her going like, have you read this book? And he's like, no. She must be like, oh,
yeah,
thank God.
I know, exactly. Do you know what algebra is? I have no idea. Wonderful. Let's go out.
Do you know what charity is? No. Perfect.
So she's a billionaire. And she's got the world rooting for her to be entering into like her hot second act. Mm-hmm. So I think we could all
agree.
And she's
still young. She's like in her 50s. Like she's, and with, I mean, if anyone's got access to all the chirogenic kind of, you know, Brian Johnson live forever stuff, it's Melinda McGee. So I expect her to get past 120 at least. So there's a lot of runway left.
Yeah. Come on the pod, Melinda.
Come on,
if you're
Melinda.
Listening.
She definitely listens.
Imagine if she came on and she picked just like the most trashy couple possible.
Yeah, exactly. Kim K and Kanye. She's really into it. Well, I watched for episode one, obviously.
What an amazing couple. But your work is not done yet.
Well, yes. Speaking of amazing women who... are also someone who can say, you know, I don't marry rich men, I am the rich man. Well, the original rich man, of course, is the patron saint of our podcast, Daniel. And as you well know, if you listen to any other episodes before, we ask all our guests to help us find someone worthy of her. So can you, Daniel, please put your thinking cap on and let me know who you think could be with the one, the only Cher. I mean, Bill Gates is single, just saying.
I'm going to give Cher... I'm going to gift to Cher.
Okay.
Mark Ruffalo.
Oh! Woo! That is a wonderful choice, and that is a hell of a gift.
Yes.
Have you seen him in that new film with Emma Stone?
No, yes. I haven't.
Poor things.
Is he really hot in Poor
Things?
You're
not meant to take away from it that he's really hot, but he's just so hot in it. Because she had the Tom Cruise thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And
she had Tom Cruise thing. Yeah. She's done the actor. She's never done an actor fully, though. So
no.
That'd be good.
And he's like more of a bear, which I think suits her more.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. He's quite rugged.
Yeah, and quite funny, and she's quite funny.
And he's kind of the right age as well. Like he's young, but he's not like, you know, crazy young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. He's hot. He's cool.
Twinkly.
He's kind of well respected.
He's
yeah,
like
very twinkly.
A bit of like salt and pepper going on. So it's still like, it's not like, oh, what a mismatch. He just likes a slightly older woman, like hot.
Yeah. No, good one.
I imagine him backstage in like a Czech shirt.
Very Czech shirt.
Yeah,
jeans.
Czech shirt. And maybe he's been slightly sarcastic, but obviously very proud.
Yes.
Yeah. And something just tells me, and call me crazy, I don't know what it is, but something tells me he's a very giving lover. I'm just saying.
I think so.
Something about Mark Ruffalo screams, he just goes downtown and sets up camp. And if anyone deserves that, it's Cher.
Again, please refer to Poor Things, the film, because it is.
I will do. Okay, well, now I've got my plans for the weekend. I'm watching Poor Things, but I'm just fast-forwarding for all Mark Ruffalo bits.
It's a lot of Mark Ruffalo bits of exactly that.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent choice. Thank you so much for this amazing couple. That was such an... I could talk about Melinda Gates, I think. She's become my new hero, I think, Melinda Gates.
I was like, do I suggest this duo? Because they're not like fun and glamorous in pop culture, but they're just so bizarre to me.
And they are. I agree. It's really, I know, interest, and I can see now why Grania said this is an, they are an interesting couple. There's a lot there to discuss. Speaking of interesting, you yourself seem very interesting, Daniel. Yeah. Where can our guests find more of you?
You can find me also wherever you get your podcasts with, I have a brand new podcast out, but this very month, called Welcome to Hell.
Oh, great.
And it is basically me and a comedian called Dane Buckley, and we are inviting our listeners down into the depths of hell to talk about why we're all there and read out some confessions and have a good old-fashioned gossip.
So more Epstein.
It's more Epstein. No, this is a hell that the gays have gentrified, so it's like tanning. I'm also on tour. There, I said
fabulous.
It.
Fabulous.
He's just casually on tour.
I'm on tour with my comedy show.
And what's the name of your tour show?
It's called Villain.
Nice.
It is an ode to all villains who I think are all unilaterally gay. And
fabulous.
I'm touring that around the UK until mid-May. So.
Oh my God, that's not, I imagine there's a lot of speak. If it's about gay villains, I imagine Scar from The Lion King has a good 30 minutes dedicated.
He's in there. Catty uncle with a goatee. It doesn't get much camper. Like, they're all.
I mean, he's. Great stuff.
And
great
if you
stuff.
Don't oh. follow you, if you don't follow Daniel Box on Instagram, what is the point of being on Instagram?
Honestly, people.
Like, just throw your phone in the river because it's worthless.
Completely agree. Thank you for saying it.
Thank you so much, Daniel. We had a great time.
Thank you for having me.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and or on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. The way they were.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.